your vision for real with Alicia Michelle. Oh my goodness. Welcome to another Eurovision for Real podcast episode. I'm Alicia Michelle, and I'm sorry, y'all. You're stuck with me this episode. You're stuck with me, but I'm revisiting one of my most popular episodes from last year. I'm revisiting and refining. And basically the topic, I mean, if you clicked on it, you already know. It's countries that I think will win Eurovision soon. Now, when I did this before, I will, you know, just go back and tell you my list. So my list was, I had Serbia, I had Sweden, but I think I wrote next to it, and it's so funny, I wrote next to Sweden. I was like, I think it's probably Sweden. Like, they are going to win Eurovision soon, but I'd prefer it to be Finland. So hello, final two matchup we had last year. If you were wondering whether, like, I'm good at this stuff or something, I mean, hello, can I get my flowers? Okay. Some people are going to say that that's smug. I saw a Reddit. Okay. Yeah. We're deviating, but it's the Eurovision for Real podcast. We do that. We're deviating because I saw like a Reddit post. It's like old, but someone was like, you know, just as smug as an Alicia Michelle tweet. And I'm like, I'm sorry if I'm going to big myself up. Like, not a lot of people big me up. Like, I'm not getting a whole bunch of that in the space. So if I want to pat myself on the back, and honestly, if you want to pat yourself on the back because you actually said something that was right, why am I going to be mad at you for that? You were right. All I can do is be like, wow, good job. You were right. You clocked that. You had that. I don't think that's a crazy thing. So just going back to the list. So I said Serbia will win Eurovision soon. I said Sweden would, but I did little squiggly lines next to it that I'm like, I'd prefer it to be Finland before Sweden, but here we are. Sweden won. Then I said Norway. Then I had Spain. Then I had Cyprus. I had Iceland that I kind of put in there because I really want to see Iceland win soon. And I do feel like Iceland, when they're good, they're good. You know, when they're good, they're so good. And let's be real. Iceland was supposed to win Eurovision 2020. Okay. That's the hill I'm dying on. I'm living in it. There you go. Then next up, I had Slovenia, and then I had Switzerland, then I had the Czech Republic, and I closed off with Estonia, but my honorable mentions were Romania, and mind you, Romania probably isn't going to be competing this year. How sad, right? Crazy, especially when Romania was such a Eurovision powerhouse. It's a travesty. We got to go back. We got to figure out what we need to do. And then I put honorable mention Croatia. I did put Croatia in the mix. Because again, I think they're a country that, like, when they're right, they're right. But when they are bad, they are bad. When they are off, they are off, you know? And so that's why I'm like, it's hard to kind of put that sauce in there for them. Because when they're off, they're off. But, like, I want to see it. I want to see it. We'll see. And then the other one that I put in my honorable mention was Armenia. Because I was like, Armenia was on this really nice train of, like, quality at Eurovision. And then it just went left. And then I put in there that I wanted Greece, Portugal, and Ireland. That I was like, so when I did my list of countries that will win Eurovision soon, again, Serbia, Sweden, Norway, Spain, Cyprus, Iceland, Slovenia, Switzerland, Czech Republic, Estonia, I was like, that's like what I just think will happen. Like, because of most things completely out of my control. The European voting public, you know, running orders, budgets, you know, Europe wanting to see it for some folks, you know. So I will say I was in that space of like, that's what I think will just happen. But then if you ask me personally, I want to see Greece, Portugal, and Ireland. So that's where I was living last year. And then just so folks know, because some people might be like, but Italy is such a powerhouse. Like, why don't you have Italy up in the mix? I said that Italy would have to wait 15 years from 2021. Maybe not, but I said like instead of like the next 10 years, because when I said countries that will win Eurovision soon, I was like in the next 10 years. And to me, Italy, I just feel like it's not like it's going to take 15 years, but it's on that other side of 10 years. So between 10 and like 15 years. So now if you ask me, like maybe they've crept up into their grace period, but I don't know. I'm still living in the world for Italy. It's probably too soon. But if they won again, I wouldn't be surprised, and it'd probably be like well-deserving because I mean, like we all know, Italy serves quality, okay? They serve quality. The next up was the Netherlands. I just think the Netherlands has been serving quality. And honestly, last year, they sort of faltered. And the crazy thing about them faltering last year was that I think there were people like in the room that were kind of like apprehensive. And instead of them leaning into that apprehension, they let other people kind of get in their ear. They let other people, you know, sort of dictate their stuff. You know what I'm saying? And they really should have like listened to their gut, because there were definitely some red flags in place. I think some people were blinded. So we're talking about the Netherlands last year. Some people in the room probably were just like, oh, well, Duncan gave us our win. So if he's back in this, like, then we should back it, which is not the criteria that we go off of. Okay. It is not the criteria we go off of. We need to hear the song. Okay. We need to hear the people perform the song live. We need to see some reliable performances from those people, because I have been consistent that what it was Mia and Dion. Mia, I felt sort of confident in her. Dion, I saw some of his like live performances. I think he was like on The Voice or something. Like I saw some like performances he did on some TV show. The performances weren't that great. They wouldn't have made me feel super confident. And the Netherlands has an amazing music scene. And again, an amazing track record at Eurovision that I would have not wanted to gamble on some people that in my face were seeming like it might not be all the way there. You know what I mean? Like, I just was like, I don't know. But I'll be real with you. I did think as a studio cut, the song was good. The music video was good. You know? But them live performances weren't everything that they needed to be. And arguably, they were not in the semifinal. I mean, honestly, if they were in another semifinal, they probably would have made it. That's quiet as is kept. They probably could have had a chance. But there were vocal choices that I wouldn't have done. I do think the staging and styling was right. But again, they could have just done that song and Mia could have just done it as a solo act. And honestly, if they had done it as a solo performance with Mia, I don't think we would be talking about the Netherlands having lost a little bit of their momentum, because I think they would have at least qualified. They wouldn't have really done much in the final, but they would have at least qualified, which is a shame. But okay, that was my list from last year. That was my list from last year. And, you know, technically I can go on and scratch off Sweden from that list. They've now won. Do I think Sweden could win again in the next 10 years? I mean, honestly, the way that that jury was going last year, I'm like, maybe. But let me note, so I made a new list of 10 countries that I think will win Eurovision soon. And when I say soon, in the next 10 years, and I'm going to share that list with you. We're going to break it down. And I will tell you, I think I have 5-ish, 6. So I'll say 5-ish, but 6 that were on my list for last year that I'm keeping. So that means that technically 3 folks kind of removed themselves from the contention. And that's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. And the reason why they're moving is not because of me. It's because of themselves. It's because of the decisions, the choices that they're making. And whether that still allows me to have a little bit of confidence in what they're going to put together. Okay. So, all right. So I'm going to kick off. I'm like wondering if I should just do a country that I had already. I'm going to kick off with a country that I already had at the top of my list last year, Serbia. I think if we are waiting on a Balkan country to win Eurovision soon, it's going to be Serbia. Pesma za Eroviziju last year was great. I had like, there are legitimately 5 songs from that national selection I am still listening to. And when I tell you, I'm not even listening to the Eurovision 2023 playlist anymore. Y'all, I'm gonna say something groundbreaking, and I feel like this is a safe space, so I'm gonna share it with you. But I do say this with bated breath, and you know, there's time I could hop back in it, but no, I'm not even listening to Tattoo anymore. Yeah, I have to say it. No, I am not listening to Tattoo anymore. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe part of it is I'm in like a relationship where I'm really happy. So, you know, I don't know, maybe that's what it is. You know, the narrative of the song isn't really speaking to me in the way that it, you know, could be speaking to me if I was like out here in the streets single, or if I was like going through a breakup or something, if I was feeling like really melancholy or misty, you know, but I'm not there. So back to Serbia. PZE really stepped it up from the graphics to the way that they were announcing their artists. To me, this is how you make your local music scene feel like, oh, if I go do this, I'll be treated right. And I think that that is precisely what they did. Even with a limited budget, the staging and camera angles that were happening at PZE, better than some of the stuff I saw on the Eurovision stage. Shameful. Shameful EBU team. Take notes. Get some of those Serbians in there. That's all I'm saying. But no, I really think that Serbia has all the momentum. I think now in the fandom, in the bubble, you know, and the core, this is your base. I'm not saying the fandom is everything of Eurovision, clearly not. But like, you got to make sure your base is happy. And I think that the base is now really, really like, come on. Come on, Balkans. What y'all got for me? I'm here. And if it's good and if it's well executed, I might just feature you a little bit more. I might give you that like plus one. So Serbia, I just think, you know, in the national selection, it's just looking really good. I think also just the voting public of Serbia, just open to kind of taking the risk. I mean, they had Luke Black last year, and then like runner up was basically, they had that guy that was sort of doing like, I would say, traditional Eurovision. It was very ethnic, Prince. It was ethnic. The showcase was good. And do I think that would have done well at Eurovision and qualified? Absolutely. I most certainly think that Prince would have qualified. I think he would have done well. And arguably, he might have even done better than Luke Black ultimately did at the Eurovision Song Contest. But what that tells me about the voting public in Serbia is they're willing to take a chance. They're willing to go for it. And that's what you need. That's what shows me. It's like, yeah, and I mean, and honestly, I think Serbia does want to win. Don't get me wrong. I think the Serbian broadcaster, especially with the way that they were promoting PESMA last year, the way that the shows went down, you know, even with the little bit of budget that they had, they utilized it so thoughtfully that made me go, okay, yeah, y'all are really in it. And let's not forget, the last time that Serbia basically like hosted, that was a show and it was a party, okay? It was a party. They had people in the streets. Okay. I'm just saying. So if Serbia decided to host, I most certainly think we would be in for a show. And again, I think they are ready for it. I think they're hungry for that win. Yeah. So on this same note, I'm taking it over to Slovenia. Okay. I had Slovenia on my list last year. And I think I think I had done this before Joker Out, but maybe I didn't. Maybe Joker Out had been announced. But them coming back this year with Raven, it tells me, I mean, this is just a gift to Eurovision fans. Now, for people who are outside of the Eurovision bubble, you might not know who Raven is, but she has participated in Slovenia's national selection a couple of times, and she has not won, but she has come up with these songs that are so inventive. She's an artist that not only has like a real sense of musicality, and when I say that, it's like someone who actually could look at a piece of sheet music and know what it is saying. So that's what I mean when I say musicality. She is actually a musician herself. The vocal is there, but then also she is so thoughtful with the visual. She can dance. The styling plays such a role in what she puts together. This girl is amazing. And when I tell you Slovenia might be coming for a win this year, they really might be. And honestly, I think them not doing the national selection last year allowed them to probably save up a couple of coins there. You know, you have this well-established group, Joker Out, who is doing very well in Europe now, which is amazing. I love that for them. I love artists that come and utilize Eurovision for the platform that it is, the global introduction that you can have, and how you want to parlay that is all on you as an artist. But they are totally taking advantage of that and just expanding their fan base beyond the Balkans, I should just say. So Slovenia, I think, is in it. Slovenia's national selection, and to get back to it, even though they haven't been giving us EMA, these past 2 years now because they've decided to go internal. EMA was a great show. EMA was a great show. So that makes me go, okay, you've never had the keys to the kingdom and I want to give them to you. And I will be real. I always have a candle lit a little bit for our countries that have never won Eurovision before. I have to. Perhaps it's like rooting for the underdog in me. And, you know, as much as like I can be out here and I love the Swedens for when they give us quality and when they don't mail it in, and I will amp them up and boost them as much as I possibly can. It's like you are so fed right now. You're almost getting to the point of obesity. And there are some people who are literally at the table starving, who would just be so grateful for a droplet of water. Now, of course, we don't want that hunger to manifest into desperation. You know, we don't want it to manifest into desperation. did y'all catch it? Eurovision for Real podcast. Okay. But yeah, we don't want it to morph into desperation, because then it's like you'll just do anything for the win. And it's like, ew, like, I don't want that. I still want you to have some thought behind it. And I still want you to do something that you want to do. You know, I want you to do something that you want to do. But also it has to be, you know, with tight styling and, you know, the right song and the right genre and all those things. Yes. I know those jokes. If you can't see my face, you're probably like, huh, what do you mean? But anyway, Serbia, Slovenia. Yes. I think that you could win the Eurovision Song Contest soon for the next 10 years. Okay. Let me move on the list again. I'm going to do one other one because we're already on the S's, and I'm going to do one that I already had on the list last year, Spain. I think Spain's going to win in the next 6 years. And honestly, depending upon how the rest of this year shapes up, I have heard the Benidorm songs. Benidorm, I have heard some of the songs. And I will tell you, there's two songs, both very, very different. Both very, very different. But those two songs, if they are staged thoughtfully and the vocal is executed the way that they are on the studio cuts, with which, according to the streets, the two songs I'm talking about are fronted by vocalists. And I mean that not singers, vocalists that actually are pretty reliable live. If Spain sends one of those two, maybe you could get the keys to the kingdom this year. Because Spain, Benidorm Fest, I think is going in the right direction. I think I heard some people, well, not heard, but saw on the internet that some folks were feeling like Benidorm was a little bit weak this year. Or they're like, it was like a downgrade from last year. But when I was hopping into that, I was like, this sounds like a solid like playlist. There's probably only one song from that mix that I would skip. And even that song's not that bad. It's just not really my vibe. But like one song that I would skip, I can listen to all the rest of them. Radio Friendliness. I mean, if we really look at the results from last year, with the exception of Katia kind of doing this very bombastic out of the box in a sense act, even though I wouldn't say that it was revolutionary. And I think that's a conversation not a lot of people are willing to have. Like, yes, it's out of the box. Like Cha-Cha-Cha was out of the box for like a Eurovision application, but it's, you know, the level of bombast and kind of genre bending that it was doing is something that we have heard and experienced before in mainstream music. But I would say, with the exception of Katia, when you look at the rest of like the top 10 and definitely the top 5, it's a lot of like pretty standard like radio pop. And so that was just last year. And from Eurovision year to Eurovision year, we don't really see that much of like a drastic deviation, except for kind of like anomaly years. Like I would say, you know, 2017 was a little bit of anomaly because you had Portugal coming back, giving us something so totally different that it just hogged up all of the attention in many ways because it was just so different from everything else that we were sort of experiencing that year. I would also note that I feel like 2017 was not a strong Eurovision year. So the quality acts that we had, it was really kind of a pick between maybe 3 to 4 songs. And even of those 3 to 4 songs, Salvador Sobral's song was just so different. Not to mention, we have to add in that little piece of je ne sais quoi, that little piece of like overall Eurovision narrative that Portugal had sat out and then was coming back. And also Portugal never having won the competition before. So that was also working to their advantage. And or people want to go like, but what about Bulgaria? Again, there were other songs that year that were in the same ilk of the genre that Bulgaria was serving. Remember? Again, Salvador Sobral got to stand out. So there's that. So yeah, Spain, I just really feel like they're on the right path. They're on the right path. Blanca Paloma was not appreciated by the masses of Europe who, I guess, were just like, I don't get it. I think the running order did not help her out at all. Like, the way that the broadcast, I hated that running order. Like, that combo of all of those songs together, Albania in the mix, Lorien in the mix, I mean, was just like, why? Why? You know, dust is settled. We can talk about it now because that was foolish. Anyway, so we said Spain. All right, I'm going to come back. We're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back and I'm going to give you a new entry into my list of countries that I think will win Eurovision soon. Keep it locked here on the Eurovision for Real podcast. All right, so we are back. I have already said Serbia, Slovenia, and Spain. And all three of those were on my list for last year. And remember, my list last year was Serbia, Sweden, Norway, Spain, Cyprus, Iceland, Slovenia, Switzerland, Czech Republic, and Estonia. All right, so I've decided to go on. I'm going to hit you with two newbies that I'm adding to the mix. And it's crazy because I think last year I wanted to say this country, but I was like, they're just so hard to bet on. But, you know, with recent news and with a job well done from last year, at least production-wise, I'm going with the UK. And it's weird because I did tell people, and it's strange to me that I didn't include the UK in my list last year because the UK I both want to see win Eurovision soon. And honestly, after that hosting job last year, for the most part, I think that they should. I think that they deserve their own show that they can show all of their like UK culture, you know, from the tippity top to the bottom of bottom. No, but I really do feel like, you know, last year's show, it was a pairing. It wasn't just dominated by the UK. And it definitely was not just dominated by Ukraine. We did see sort of a little bit of a lockstep situation happening. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think the UK could win Eurovision soon. They did announce that it's this guy, Ollie. He was a vocalist and kind of one of the lead creatives in this group years and years. I'm familiar with their music. I will say Eurovision isn't just about an artist, and we know that. So it's still funny to kind of experience a lot of the UK people just sort of in rapture with just the announcement of it being Ollie and it being this moment. And I think, you know, in the media, it's still too soon. The dust has not even settled from the announcement. We should at least let it sit for like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month. I'd give UK people a month. But like come February, we need to then be hit with the reality that it's like, yes, the artist is the artist. But Eurovision, this is the Eurovision Song Contest. And it is not just about the artist. You have to have like the right song, obviously staging package, and the vocals have to be executed to perfection. But I do think Ollie representing the UK is a nice sort of solidification of like the BBC's commitment to not being dated, not making excuses, and actually showing up. Because unlike a lot of Eurovision fans, I will tell you, I actually think the UK has been consistently staging well since like 2016. With the exception of James and the trumpets on the stage. James and the giant trumpet, okay? AKA James and the giant peach. No, the giant trumpet. We didn't need the giant trumpet. But if we were going to have the giant trumpet, because here I'm gonna play devil's advocate. In theory, the giant trumpet was not the problem. It was the fact that it was just there on stage and we had all of these really sad, sweeping, slow camera angles for a song that's like a banger. The song was on Love Island. I mean, damn. There were people coming out in trucks, you know, with bikinis on. And we had James in leather with trumpets on the stage. Shameful. If Love Island could figure it out, I don't know what the hell y'all were thinking. Come on, ITV. Shout out Love Island. But I really do feel like the UK has all of the sauce, all of the tools to win soon. And now that Europe has experienced what it is like and was reminded of what the experience could be like with the UK hosting, I think that they will now be a little bit more gracious towards the BBC network and sort of how the BBC decides to take this contest seriously. So, yes, a new arrival to my countries that will win Eurovision soon within the next 10 years. The UK. And I feel proud and I stand by this. And I actually wrote in parentheses, I think it's 7 years. I think I've got 7 years. And if they can't get it done in the next 7 years, then it's like, okay, I don't know. Back to the drawing board. Next up. Now, this was featured in my list last time around as a want. And even though they didn't even qualify last year, I'm leaning into it. And this one, I'm going out on a limb a little bit. But the selection of the artists that they picked this year makes me feel like I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy for doing this. I'm not crazy. And I'm going to say Greece, okay? A new arrival was in my just wants last year, but I'm putting it in, it's going to happen. Because here's the thing, even with the young man that was jumping around a little bit off the pitch and key in a safari suit last year, even though, you know, that happened, it was still a good studio cut song. Like, let's be fair, it was still a good studio cut. The problem was they rolled the dice on a young performer who had not been tested. And everybody knows you're not supposed to do that. Come on, Greece. Come on, Greece. We want to go there. We want to go there. Let's not make these stupid mistakes. And for the most part, I think if you look en masse at Greece, at Eurovision, they actually haven't done that many boo-boos. But when they have done the boo-boos, it's like when they've done things where it's like, come on, y'all. You know you're not supposed to do that. Let's go to Greece, 2018. One of the best studio cuts that year. Period. One of the best studio cuts that year. And then they just turned over all of the creative development to that lady who, again, had not been tested. She couldn't sing live. The staging was empty. You let her hire her staging team. Why did you do that? Silly. We're not going to make those stupid mistakes again, Greece. We're not. Because the thing is, Greece wants to win. And they definitely want to win before Cyprus. They definitely want to win again before Cyprus, period, period. But I think Greece has something in the sauce with Marina. And if they keep figuring out how to pull artists like her, then I am not worried for Greece. Because Marina is the type of artist that, one, has been tested, and I think she has good taste. Now, I say I think, we have not heard a song. We have not heard a song. Nope, nope, nope. So I don't want to get my hopes up. But I'm sorry to say they're already up. They're up there. They're up there. So yeah, Greece. Greece, I have in there countries that are going to win Eurovision soon. Now, let me hop into a country that I did have on the list last year. Czech Republic. And I'm not going to lie, I still have Czech Republic on the list. Now, do I think they're going to win this year? Absolutely not. No. And the crazy thing is, I am nervous whether they're even going to qualify. And I'll be real with you. The studio cut of the song is great. If this artist is able to turn it around with the vocal and the live performance, even then, this is a song that will struggle to qualify because we have seen entries like this in the past. Struggle to qualify even when they are executed to perfection, period. And that's the hard truth. But even with that said, I think that Czech Republic does have some special sauce. They've got momentum. I think they've got some momentum. I think they're gonna bite the bullet a little bit this year, unfortunately. But I think that that will allow them to get the much needed tweak to their national selection format that they clearly need. Because I'm gonna be real with you, as much as, where are you now when I miss you, You're sailing around in my peripheral. Okay, yeah. Where are you now? Okay, as much as that song did grow on me, I mean, we could have been talking Winter Potential with Jasinski. We could have been talking Winter Potential with Jasinski in that same national selection. So I think Czech Republic does need to maybe rethink how they select their songs. I think still having the public vote is great. I think still not letting the Czech Republic nation dictate the winner, because I'm sorry, Czech Republic, I love y'all. I want to go there. But y'all have still not figured out like what will make it so y'all can win at Eurovision. Y'all still like each time y'all have been off in the polling there. So y'all still need to figure it out. So I think you can still get a vote, and we can maybe make the international vote equal. But I'm gonna say the thing that we're not supposed to say, but I think the Czech Republic might actually need a jury. And real talk, a jury that I'm sitting on. Hello, Jan. I'm just saying, I think it need be a jury with some people who actually have some level of musicality and a little bit of Eurovision history too. I think that's the key. It's like, yes, you can be a music professional, but you also have to have a little bit of a sense of like what works at Eurovision. And that's where I think some of these juries fall down. The ones in the national selections, they might be good on their music industry and like what's a radio hit, but they're not knowing what is actually going to have them win. And I will tell you, Czech Republic wants to win Eurovision. And so even though this year they might have to take a little L, and honestly, like I said, the studio cut is good of the song. Like, put myself on a pedestal. And it's very current. It's nothing about the song that sounds dated at all. But again, this song typically struggles at Eurovision. So honestly, as it stands right now, yeah, I would like to see it qualify. But if that girl cannot figure out how to deliver that song vocally in a competent and acceptable manner, then no, I'm not going to be rooting for you. I want to vote for the people who are actually going to give me a clean package that I won't have to be embarrassed about when I see them perform on stage. And right now, I go, girl, you might get out there and embarrass me, and I don't want to be embarrassed. Okay, so Czech Republic, I still see it for you. Okay, I still see it for you. But I'm not really seeing it for you this year. Okay, next up, let me just put it out there. I'm just going to say these two Nordics, Iceland and Finland. Iceland, I gotta see it. I have to see you win. I have to see you win soon. Here's the thing with Sanna Kempen, though. I feel like one year they have it's strong. They typically are like on off. One year will be kind of like a weak year, and then the next year will be like super strong. And you're kind of like, oh my gosh, you have like all these options for songs. Like, I don't know which one you should pick. Like last year was a weak year for them. And even though I love p-p-p-power, okay, yeah, even though I loved Power, I knew that it was going to struggle. Power, a little bit in alignment with what Aiko is offering, demographic, just saying, it's similar. So, Dilyal didn't make it. She was like 1 point away. So I just will say though, I think Iceland has so much talent and so many artists that are just like doing amazing forward-thinking things in the music industry on a global level, period. We need Iceland to get their due on the Eurovision stage, period. It needs to happen. We need to see Iceland in there. Next up, Finland. I've been standing Finland for years. I don't understand why it's taken so long for like, I mean, and obviously like Katja was like a moment. It like hit. It was big last year. I will say though, I was always living in a space of like, is the jury going to give this enough? Like, I had no fear in the televote. I figured like Katja was our televote winner. I was like, Austria might be able to scoop it from them. I was like, Norway might be able to scoop it from them. I was like, but this is Finland's to lose, the televote last year. But I really was living in a space of like, I can't wrap my mind around a scenario where the jury gives it enough. And ultimately, that's what happened. The jury just did not give Finland enough. But I would say en masse, the past couple of years, you know, while everyone was talking about how Norway's MGP was like the best national selection, I felt like I was out there like, did you not look at UMK? Norway wants to sit us there for weeks, you know, giving us hit or miss. And then with results that aren't even, that we don't agree with. Whereas UMK is coming with the quality over quantity, giving us 6 solid songs, staging packages that are visual and something to look at, hosting that is, again, entertaining, lets me go through the show with ease. Finland, I need you to win Eurovision soon. We need, let me tell you the things that Finland does. Finland's national selection last year had multiple live commentary and translations throughout the show, multiple languages. Even Eurovision doesn't break it down like that for you on a digital level. Even the EBU is not doing that, where you can hop into a website and select, oh, I want to do this in French. I want to do this in Chinese. I think they even have Russian. Like, and this is not about Russia. This is about all the people who speak Russian. You know what I mean? They created a national selection that literally said, please come watch. Come experience this. Not everyone is doing, even Melody Festivalen isn't doing all of that, okay? San Remo's not doing that, and that's what, you know, Eurovision is based off of. That is the broadcaster telling me that not only are they ready, they are like, yes, come, support our artist, view this. And on God, I have been telling people, when Finland gave us the single best Eurovision opening of all time, Eurovision grand final opening of all time. I don't care what anyone says. Go back and watch it. Go back and watch Eurovision 2007. Watch that grand final opening with the monsters emerging from the ice, the cinematic views. Oh my God. It was so good. I'm getting chills just thinking of it. That is what Finland gave us in 2007. Imagine what they'll give us in 2024. 2025, 2026, 2027. Better, because I'm telling you, even UMK was great. Like the past 2 years, UMK has just been amazing television viewing. And if you are like a Eurovision fan and you don't want to hop into any national selections, I'm going to tell you the Finnish national selection, UMK, is must-see television, period. And it doesn't even take that much of your time to view it. You don't have to invest in weeks of television viewing or anything. You can just hop right in. Hop right in. Yes, Finland, you've made the official list. Because really last year, I wanted to have you in, but I was like, no, I just know Sweden's going to win first. I just know they're going to win first. And they did. Here we are. They did. But, you know, the clock starts off fresh. So yeah, I'm putting Finland in there. You're in there. Now, I've got 2 slots left. And I'm gonna go into it. Okay, Lithuania. But I'm gonna tell you, and really, it should be Lithuania. Lithuania has not won the Eurovision Song Contest. Lithuania has given us quality before. I will tell you, I do think Lithuania's national selection is overdue some tweaking and finessing. That's the unfortunate piece. yeah, that is the unfortunate piece. They need some tweaking and finessing of that national selection. Now, here's the thing I like about the national selection. It does allow the audiences to like tweak and kind of change. Like you can perform it. And if you make it the next week, you can change the song. If the chorus doesn't feel sticky enough, like you can figure out ways to like amplify that. If like one lyric is like a little bit tricky, you can change it. And I do think there's something about that, like sort of real time tweaking and sort of optimization with an audience is revolutionary. I think that there is something about that. I wish that there is a way that we could figure that out, that then doesn't allow for these sort of anomaly wins to sort of manifest. Because as much as I was okay with Shuto, Tuto, it was not the strongest Eurovision package that Lithuania could have sent last year. And I think if you look back at some years, some, not all, some years at the Lithuanian national selection, you will find that there was something else that would have been better. So with that said, if Lithuania doesn't get it, Estonia is going to come in and steal it from them. Y'all, I don't make the rules. I'm just reading the tea leaves. It's the psychics. It's the odds. It is the Eurovision voting public. And it's some of these national selections. Okay? This is not me. And I'm not saying that Estonia is not deserving, because I do think Estonia needs, because Estonia was, yeah, come on everybody, let's think. And they need a palate cleanser from that win. Estonia's music scene is better than come on everybody, let's, you know. And I'm not saying that that's bad. It was cute. But even for that year, it was like, come on. Come on everybody was giving solidly like 92, and arguably we probably could have been served it in 86 or 87. Let's be real. In the 2000s, that was unacceptable as a Eurovision winning entry. It just was so divorced from what was actually happening at the moment. And I will say, I want Estonia to have a moment to give us a palate cleanser, because y'all know I've been long in these Esti Lau streets. And it is probably one of my most wrought national selections, because Esti Lau literally gives me songs that like I just listen to for life. You are my spirit animal. You're my, like, just life. I listened to that last year. I've been on my own for way too long. I've been singing every single song. It just, they give me songs that I just listen to. Even in not a Eurovision application, they have these songs that just sound so current and so fresh, but they don't pick them. They don't, for the most part, they don't send those songs to Eurovision. Now, when they did Storm, that was right. Honestly, Alika Bridges was pretty right. I think, you know, people like Ollie wouldn't have done better than Alika. I mean, Alika was top 10. Ollie wouldn't have done better than Alika. So I mean, last year, you know, like they picked right ultimately, but there was some other things in that mix that I think actually could have given Estonia that edge. So I will say Lithuania is officially on the list, and they should be there. They should be there. But if they don't figure something out to really optimize their selection, unfortunately, Estonia's gonna steal it from them. Okay, and so now I have to move to my very last section. And of course, like any good Eurovision fan who loves to waffle, I'm conflicted. And I will say I'm conflicted because there are three countries that I did have on my list last year that I'm sort of fighting between those three. So I will say Norway, I think, could win Eurovision soon. However, I think Norway's been fumbling the bag. Norway has had all the momentum. They've got a ton of quality. They have had good songs. And somehow, something in the sauce is just not working. It's just not working in a way that is going to give them what they want. Because I will tell you, when we talk about Norway at the Eurovision Song Contest, Norway wants to win. Norway wants to win, period, point blank, end of story. They do. But then they do this weird stuff that I'm just like, y'all been here longer than me. Y'all been at this competition longer than me. And if I know that this is a mistake, how do you not know that it is a mistake? So first, number one thing, when they decided to have auto-tune at their national selection, why would you handicap your artists like that? They're not going to be able to use it at Eurovision. So what is the point, really? What is the point? Not to mention, you're kind of masking what your voting public is even like voting on. Because they don't even really get to see them fresh. Now, I do know they apparently said at the grand final of Norway's national selection last year, they were like, okay, no one will be using auto-tune tonight. I think that's what they said. I think maybe there was an act or two that used it, but I think they said that like, oh, no one will use it tonight. Or it was like, oh, we offered it to them and no one wanted to use it. But guess what? You've already eliminated some of the people who probably could have sang live. Stupid. I'm sorry. It's just dumb. It makes no sense. Why would you do that? Why are you dabbling in things that are not allowed at the big show? It is handicapping your artist. And I will also tell you, I mean, Alessandra, young performer. Y'all know how I feel about my young performers. She lost her voice. Why did no one consult her to either say, you need to not talk, we need to come in, maybe give you some B12 shots so you can heal up your vocal cords or something, or just tell her you're going to the turquoise carpet, but you're not going to do any interviews because you've lost your voice. Do you know she actually was able to hit the high note at the jury show? Was it the jury show? Yeah, I think the jury show or the run through. No. I think it was the run through the day of the grand final. She hit the note. And then, of course, we all saw it at the grand final. She then couldn't hit the note. Foolish. Foolish. And I could go on. I could go on. But yeah, do not handicap your artists in the national selection with tools that they won't be able to use at the big show. Period. Don't let your voting public be sort of mystified by the performances, you know, without the auto-tune. Like, no, don't do that. Your audience is then eliminating people who might be able to be on the pitch and key without assistance. And that's what you need at Eurovision. So that's the first thing that I think Norway is doing to sort of hurt their chances at, like, you know, solidly winning. Two, why are we the Vikings? Why are we going for the kitsch? Why is everything like that's sailing to the top kitsch? Norway, you have an amazing music scene. Like, just give us a good pop song. You know? Quiet as is kept, you could probably give us a better one than Sweden. Oop, yeah, I said it. If you just, you know, really put your mind towards it, you probably could. And you could best Sweden, but at this point, Sweden has now bested you. So unfortunate. It's so unfortunate. And I know there's like a little like Sweden-Norway like thing. I know, like, they're like always kind of like, oh, well, we did better than, you know, like for Swedes, it's like, oh, well, we did better than Norway. So, you know, it's all good. Norway's like, oh, you know, we might not have won, but we did better than Sweden. Like, it's a thing. But yeah, no, Norway has gone down the drain pipe of kitsch. Because as much as I could be down for like, she, Queen of the Kings, like as much as I could be into that, and it was like a vocal showcasing like song, like it was definitely like Eurovision ready in theory. We had Subwoofer, kitsch. You have Tix with his gold chain, bandana, and fur coat, and angel wings, kitsch. Can we mix it up a little bit, y'all? And just give us a song. Just give us a good song, Norway. That's so, I'm going to say I'm living in that space a little bit. Yeah, Norway giving us a good song. And then Switzerland I had in the mix. And honestly, in some ways, I almost feel more hopeful for Switzerland than I do Norway at this point. However, I think that Switzerland has been playing it safe for a while. I hear this year, they are not planning on playing it safe. I hear that this year, they are not planning on playing it safe. But I am nervous. I'm nervous that if they kind of keep staying in this very safe and like kind of jury bait like space, it's not going to happen for them. It's not going to happen for them. Eurovision's moving in a different direction and they're just going to miss the bus. Then next up, Cyprus. What is going on? I had Cyprus solidly in my will win Eurovision soon mode. solidly there. And now I'm sort of living in this space of like, we gotta switch up the formula. We gotta experiment. We've gotta do something different. Like, maybe we need to rethink how we find our artists. Like, I know they were talking about doing a national selection, which could have been nice to jimmy up some nice momentum, but then they were then not allowed to do that. Like, that didn't happen. And Cyprus, it's weird. So I started with Norway, who I feel like the most questionable about, because I think maybe they might need a new head of delegation or something. They need like a rethinking, a reimagining of how they select the artists and like the process with which they want to approach the Eurovision Song Contest. So I think Norway, it's like kind of a couple of things. Switzerland, it's just one thing. I just think they're being too safe, really. And I think once Switzerland goes back to like, let's just find dope songs, find a dope artist who is competent, I think Switzerland could see themselves like solidly, like in a really, really good place. And I say good place in getting a win. Cyprus, I just feel like I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know where to start, because I'm like, everything in theory should be okay. Like, all the ingredients are there. You know, they have the budget. They're, you know, they're working with Panic Records. Like, everything is there, and I just don't know what's missing. So perhaps maybe what's missing is just timing. Perhaps what is missing is just, we need to maybe rethink like our creative team when it comes to like selecting the song. But it's like, it's right there. And here's what I'll say. So in the 10th slot, I basically have Norway, Switzerland, and Cyprus. But I kind of feel like, I don't know, maybe we're back in like a Nordic resurgence at Eurovision. So maybe Norway edges out. But if all Norway, Switzerland, and Cyprus like keep kind of just missing the mark, I'm going to tell you the sleeper sensation that is Portugal will come and steal it from all three of them, and we'll make it there before they do. Because here's the thing, that's that Portugal does really, really well. They go, they find songwriters, they find actual creatives. They say, make the music you're going to make. Then tell us what we need to do to showcase you. And they sit back and they just let it play out. And I think what that has resulted in a beautiful, beautiful way, that FDC, Festival da Canção, can do in a way that most of the other national selections can't do, is an effortlessness of just like, we're neither thirsty nor desperate. And, you know, maybe we want to win, maybe we don't, but we're just making this good music. And the thing is, if you kind of keep doing that long enough, it won't take you long to strike gold. Well, that was my list. The 10 countries I think could win Eurovision soon, within the next 10 years. That's what I'm saying. Within the next 10 years. That's what I mean by soon. That's what I think. Please, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you haven't already checked me out on YouTube, please do that too. I do have some more podcasts coming for you. We are heating up this Eurovision season. And I think the next podcast episode is, we're going to have to dig deep a little bit into these national selections that we have. Now that we have, like, I mean, some of the national selections are going. Estee Lau, I've been hopping into that playlist. I hopped into Benidorm. So I think the next time we chat and connect, we'll be really breaking down some of these national selections. So thank you so much for listening. Bye.